Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is July 20th, 2022. This is your AEW post show from Fightful. Please leave a thumbs up on this video, subscribe, tap the bell for notifications. We have shows every day this week leading up to ROH Death Before Dishonor on Saturday night. Will Washington and Denise Salcedo will be covering that for you. But tonight, we got Alex Palowski here with us. Alex, look at your stupid little hat.
I may have pre-celebrated. I may have brought this on myself. Sean, you're gonna be mad at me for not bringing this up earlier, but your microphone sounds a little tinny.
Oh, wonderful! I'm glad that you didn't bring it up earlier.
Honestly, I didn't even notice it until now. But yeah,
man,
yeah, I am the pain maker, in that I have been made to be in pain by going into my daughter's like art supplies, finding a washable Crayola marker, coloring in around the eyes, and finding a stupid little hat, and getting all excited to celebrate Jericho losing, because of course he was going to lose, because it's absolute insanity to book anything other than that. And now I look like a complete ass times two. Now you're muted.
How does my mic sound?
It's a little better, I guess.
I guess we'll try this again.
It's better than being not heard at all.
Please leave a thumbs up. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com.
Much better.
Yesterday, we broke news that Kenny Omega is in the tentative plans to make a return. Today, we revealed the Bound for Glory location. All kinds of big wrestling news over at FightfulSelect.com. It's the most direct way to support us, but other ways you can support us: super chats, humper chats. Today I did a show, What Do You Guys Want to Talk About?, where it was completely dictated by your super chats and humper chats. But you know what? Here we are right now. Humperchats.com or live here on YouTube. You can donate a super chat, get your question statement read on the air, addressed on the air. And Nerd Guru says, I can feel Alex's pain while he's wearing the Jericho midlife crisis costume.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Tony P says, not AEW related, but I hear Mella has been getting called out recently about the badass with a great ass line. I haven't heard anything about it and couldn't imagine caring about that line either way.
No, certainly.
Chris Kessler says, I'm very knowledgeable about pro wrestling, but I don't care about ROH or Cole Carter or Miyu. I want to watch AEW storylines or wrestlers. It's too much. Well, I mean, this was an open challenge for the FTW championship, and somebody that they could at least capitalize off of a small smidgen of buzz on in Cole Carter. We'll talk more about him later. But what did you think when you heard that Cole Carter was going to be in there?
I mean, I thought it was, they, you know, it's Shark Week. Last time we saw him, he was sleeping with the fishes. I mean, I get it. However, there are, I'm sure, lots of, like, actually signed AEW wrestlers who'd love an opportunity to go. How long was that match? Like 10 minutes?
Yeah.
With Ricky Starks in a named Dynamite special? Fyter Fest Night 2? Like, I'm sure there's at least 15 guys in the locker room who would have killed for an opportunity to go 10 minutes with Ricky Starks for a title, even if they knew they were going to lose, in a big spot in the middle of Dynamite. It feels weird, unless you say, oh, we're planning on signing Cole Carter, and then we're gonna strap a rocket to his back, and we're going to have him be the guy who eventually takes the FTW title off of Ricky Starks. I should add, none of those things sound like a good idea to me. Unless you're planning on doing all of that, doing this doesn't make a lot of sense.
It seems like because of the magic they captured in a bottle with Matt Martell and Chase Parker, sure, they're very much like, let's see if we can do it again with literally everybody from NXT. And they were very special cases. We'll talk more about him later on, though. But Brody King versus Darby kicked off the show, and this was Brody kicking the living shit out of Darby. This was how I think the match should go. Far too often we see guys like Brody get put in the position where they reach that top spot, which was a title match after the Rampage Royale or whatever the hell it was called, and then they're de-emphasized. He looked, this was bigger to me than him winning that Battle Royal, because I knew he was going to lose the title match. I think we all did. And that Gonzo bomb at the end was the naughtiest I've ever seen him pull off. Dude, I used to do that with like my wrestling buddies and my action figures when I was little. And I was like, there's no way this could safely be pulled off. It was, and it looked amazing. This was a brutal ass whipping. This was wonderful.
Yeah. It is funny because I, after this segment, let's call it the full match, what happened afterwards, I was like, this is one of the hottest starts to any Dynamite that I can remember. Like, I can't wait to see the rest of this. Culminated, of course, capped off with the perfect feud-ending match where Eddie Kingston gets to beat Jericho once and for all. So I was riding high during this whole thing. I loved Brody King just finding different ways to murder Darby Allin over and over again. I also like how Darby Allin was like, okay, let's see. How can I beat this guy who's three times my size? And finding different ways of, like, whatever offense he could possibly get on him. Like, I question how wrapping a guy's legs up in a belt is different than hitting him with the belt.
Yes.
Like, that's kind of using a foreign object. But I liked the ingenuity. If they're not going to call it, it's not a foul. So, yeah, wrap his legs up in the thing, drag him out, get him on his knees, because then you can do your crazy, you know, homicide dive at him. And it'll actually affect him. I thought that was all good. The Gonzo bomb, amazing. Him dropping him to the outside with the same choke and then waiting for him to get counted out, I thought was a cool thing. It also showed that that King was like, I'm done with this kid. I don't want to fight him anymore.
Yeah, there's no reason.
I'm just going to throw him to the outside and hopefully he's unconscious for the 10 count. And then when Darby pissed him off by diving back in the ring, then he's like, well, now I'm going to drop you on your head as hard as possible.
And to me, like, there's no reason for those two specifically to fight again. Brody King beat the living shit out of him. Like, it was so one-sided. I love it. Joey Bag of Donuts says, is Brody getting a push or is Darby being de-emphasized? Seemed like Darby has been losing a lot lately. He has. And I think that after the hot streak that he was on, and he's not figured into any of the title programs, it's very clear. It's more focused on the Sting and Darby aspect of things than it is Darby as an individual wrestler. And I imagine there's going to be some growth from a character standpoint as a result of this. But I think Brody's also getting a bit of a push. And I think that that's great. All Elite Dan says, love seeing Brody King on a roll lately. The Sting Malachi face-off gave me chills. No one would be as cool as Miro in those shades. Well, Sting comes out. Lights go off, lights go on. It's Malachi. I didn't mind this lights off, lights on. Usually I like it to be for somebody who's
returning or appearing or something, but we're conditioned for that in House of Black segments now. And I think that that works really, really well. The Mist, as Joey Bag of Donuts says, has to give him flashbacks of the Great Muta with that Mist. You know, Alex, I was thinking the other day.
Yes.
The first match that I ever laid eyes on that made me love wrestling was some random ass WCW cage match. And it was Ric Flair standing on the top turnbuckle inside the cage on one end, the Great Muta on the other end. And then it was the night that Sting climbed up and he tore his knee. And I'm sitting there thinking, all three of those sons of bitches are still wrestling, right? Still wrestling. All three of them.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't be, but here we go. Miro coming out. People want to love him. People have wanted to love him for a very, very long time. So I like that it's like, well, I'm not necessarily here for Sting and Darby. I'm here because you guys pissed me off.
Yeah.
And I'll do whatever I need to handle business.
The match I loved. I loved everything post-match even more. Like, Brody picking up Darby and keeping choking him out while watching the entranceway. Like, I'm daring you to come out and save your son, Sting. I'm daring you. And Sting does it. And he immediately gets the better of Brody because he's Sting. And then the lights go out. And I love, like, I'll always excuse the lights going out if they come back up and we get an amazing stare down. Like, Malachi staring right into the face of Sting. And then he spits the Mist into Sting. Now, here's the thing. If Sting somehow gets corrupted by the Mist, here's what I need. I need black face paint with the white lines on it. Like an inverse Sting.
Yes.
Like, that would be really cool looking. But then Miro comes out, we think, to save Darby and Sting. But the promo that he did on Rampage, where he was like, God, did you make a deal with the devil to destroy me or to recruit me? Like, that's awesome. But he comes down with the shades, and one is like that old 70s, like almost yellow orangish, and the other one is black. So we don't know what's in the eye behind that shade. And they are playing this to a T. I love it. Is Miro going to fight Malachi or join Malachi is like my favorite thing in the world right now. I can't wait to see more of it.
Kevin Hale says all the AEW injuries, yet Darby lives for another week. Badass. And Rerun says the opening segment with Brody Darby and Malachi Sting and Miro was an all-timer. Made me nostalgic for when I became a fan in the 90s. Well, buddy, if you are nostalgic, StarCast 5 is for you. I want to thank them for sponsoring our show. StarCast.com is where you can go to learn more, but we're going to tell you a little bit more now. The weekend gets started with the roast of Ric Flair Friday night, July 29th. I'll be in Nashville. I'll be at StarCast. The next day you'll have panels from Brian Danielson, Claudio, Horseman Reunion. You got Bret Hart talking that SummerSlam 92 match with Davey Boy Smith. Sunday they've got the former Paige, Foley, Kevin Nash, Matt Hardy, and a lot more. All a part of StarCast 5. Pictures, autographed, all the same great convention stuff. But this year, they've got a ton of wrestling matches. GCW, Black Label Pro on Saturday, New Japan on Saturday. Ric Flair's last match on Sunday was announced. Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett taking on Andrade and Ric Flair. So effectively, you have WWE contracted and AEW contracted there. But the card is really, really good. I am particularly excited for Killer Cross, Harry Smith, which is a rematch of the Bloodsport match they had that was fantastic. Josh Alexander and Jacob Fatu. You got Motor City Machine Guns against the Wolves. Brian Pillman Jr. and Brock Anderson representing the Horsemen against Kerry and Ricky Morton. That's a blast from the past. You got the Briscoes, Von Erichs, Rin Narita, Clark Connors, Deonna Purrazzo, Jordan Grace, Ray Phoenix, Bandito, and a lot more. You've got all this available at StarCast.com. It's going to be on pay-per-view, cable, satellite, or fight for Ric Flair's last match as well. Check it out, RicFlair'sLastMatch.com. Tickets are still available for the event at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium for $39. Check it out, StarCast 5. So Jay Lethal cut his promo. He's facing Samoa Joe. Man, Samoa Joe has been such a non-entity on this program lately, and I don't know if it was because of pre-existing things or like things that he couldn't do, but I've almost forgotten about the guy on the show.
Yeah, I think it's intentional to like the return pop at Death Before Dishonor is going to be huge. I think that there's a way to keep him off TV. And I loved Christopher Daniels coming out like, Samoa Joe's not here to not going to come here because you want him to. He's going to come show up at Death Before Dishonor. He's going to take care of business in the ring. And that's great. And I think that the only thing I'm missing for a real Samoa Joe run, because I've loved his work in ring since he came back to AEW, I need that promo where he rips the guts out of somebody with his words. I need one of those. And I think we'll get it eventually. I think, I'm looking forward to seeing him again, even though I do think they're probably going to put the belt on Lethal.
Did you happen to catch that Shark Week is coming up soon, Alex?
I did. I did happen to catch that.
That shit got annoying real quick. Who do you think is in the mascot outfit?
Nyla Rose posted a picture of herself in it.
It was a different one, though, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? I don't know if it was a different one.
I think it was a different one.
I mean, here's the thing.
Maybe it'd be Kenny again.
If you're going to do a person in the mascot outfit, you got to pay off who's in the mascot outfit, later. That's got to be the thing that you do, but they didn't do that.
I mean, maybe on down the line, they had Bernard the Business Bear. And
that's true.
And the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and all that stuff. So anything's possible. It would be funny if it was just Shark Boy. Yeah. good work if you can get it, I guess. BCC defeated Best Friends. When people ask me who I think the most underrated wrestler is in the world, I think Chuck Taylor's up there. I've always said that I always love the aggression in which he competes, and that was certainly the case again tonight. I love this. I think this is good. Seeing Yuta in there with Moxley is great too, because it doesn't feel like just because Brian Danielson is hurt that this is thrown by the wayside and they've forgotten about it. He's continuing on.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm enjoying all that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I missed everything that you just said, because I've been everyone's tweeting at me how stupid I look.
Also, I just want to say, for the StarCast plug, Jonathan Gresham versus Nick Wayne versus Takeshita versus Alan Angels got announced.
That's crazy.
But BCC versus Best Friends.
That I loved all of this. Literally the story that Wheeler Yuta told himself. Mox was also a really cool little character involved in the story, but Wheeler Yuta, obviously hating Trent because Trent always hated Wheeler Yuta, was a really cool thing. And Chuck Taylor trying to be the good guy about everything and be like, Trent, it's cool. He's cool. He's not with us anymore, but he's still cool. And then Wheeler Yuta just hauling off and socking Chuck Taylor in the mouth. And then Chuck Taylor deciding, now I'm going to destroy Wheeler Yuta, because I was trying to be nice to you, kid, and now I'm going to kick your ass. And Mox just losing his mind protecting his young lion. That was really, I loved all of this. I think that Trent and Chuck having to wrestle with an edge, because they're no funny stuff. Hey, we're all wearing tie dye. No. They're trying to murder Wheeler Yuta. And if Mox gets in the way, he's going to get some too. I thought that was all great.
All for this. Loved it. Loved it. BCC as a unit just makes a lot of sense. You're elevating Wheeler Yuta and whatnot. And Best Friends, for a while, it looked like maybe that was going to be thrown by the wayside in favor of Roppongi Vice. As it turns out, that was just a way to keep Roppongi Vice on TV, especially Trent. So I'm all for that as well. I thought this was pretty good. I thought this is one of the better things of the show. Brett Lockman says, feels like Yuta could write a textbook on how to get over quickly as he has. I mean, the circumstances had an awful lot to do with it too, but I mean, he definitely delivered when he needed to deliver.
Yeah. And low key, I'm looking forward to that match this weekend. Really looking forward to him and Daniel Garcia.
Nice hype package for Claudio Gresham. Love that they're using Ian Riccoboni. Love that he's going to be at ROH as well.
Yeah.
Kevin Gates. So they leaned in heavy to Kevin Gates. And even then, like, I don't know shit about Kevin Gates. I know the Two Phones song, but that's it. But even then, I was like, y'all are leaning in a little too heavy on, like, Kevin Gates is here. Boy, did he friggin' sock Tony Nese one. Just cracked him. And then I get a tweet from somebody, and let me read it verbatim.
Okay, good.
Let me read this out loud. Okay, hold on. Croncade said, and keep in mind, I'm not fact-checking this. Dude fucked his cousin and bragged about it and kicked a woman out of his bed for not sucking his dog's dick. I wish I was making this up. This sounds like it came straight out of Matt Hughes' autobiography.
It does.
Have you checked into that yet?
No, I'm not.
You need
I'm
to.
Not. Oh, no. Matt Hughes' autobiography? Yes, I did check into that.
That's pretty wild, right?
I have not checked into the kicking a woman out of bed for not sucking your dog's dick. Did not do that yet.
So, apparently, I did look into it a little. I did look into it, and he said something. His excuse was that he told the woman, you should be sucking that dog's dick because at least he's loyal. This is horrible. This is a horrible thing to say to a person.
Yes, it is.
In any context.
It is. Yep.
And somebody said, I had to look into it when I saw it. The dog part was more of a joke, but the cousin part is legit. Yes. So, but I don't care. In any context, that's pretty messed up.
It is messed up.
It's pretty messed up.
Yep.
The Briscoes can't get on this show.
No, they cannot.
They can't get on this show.
Can't do it.
Mike Tyson has been on this show.
Yes.
Kevin Gates has been on this show after saying the things that he said. Oh, man. But good punch on Kevin Gates. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you think about all this Kevin Gates business?
I don't have anything to say about Kevin Gates. I'll talk about the guys who are on the show that I actually watch the show for.
Swerve is great, by the way. I know he's listening.
Swerve is amazing. Swerve's amazing. Keith Lee's amazing. The promo they showed on, I guess, the Road 2 or something, with them after winning the titles last week, where Keith Lee and Swerve talk about how they had their problems. I love that Swerve and that. Again, it's just not a thing on YouTube. I wish they would have him actually say it on TV, because on TV is where we all watched him blatantly betray his tag partner in that battle royal. So
it was a lot like a
Yes, that was true. But then the whole thing afterwards was them not getting along because of it, all this stuff. But in this little promo thing, he says, I wanted to win so bad, to get gold so bad. I was willing to sacrifice anything to do it. And I see now that I was wrong to betray my brother.
Love
Keith.
It.
Like,
love that.
That's amazing. That's character development and growth. That's what I want to see in a weekly show. Doesn't matter if it's this or Better Call Saul. I want to see weekly growth in the characters as they become different people and tell the story. So I love now that we had that little,
it made sense of it,
that little hiccup in their relationship, and they've smoothed it out and now are a force. Like, when they walk out together, like, first to Swerve's music and then to Keith Lee's music, like, it's just beautiful to watch these two guys together. They're so damn cool, and I love that they're the tag champs.
Oh, Elite Dan said Swerve and Keith Lee look so good with gold. They do. And I would have loved to have gotten FTR Bucks at All Out, but you know what? I ain't complaining about Swerve and Keith Lee versus FTR, because I haven't seen that one yet, and I can't wait to see that dynamic. Right. I can't wait to see FTR working with a team, the traditional big man, fast man team that they grew up watching for so long, and probably imagining how to work against that style. And you want to talk about instant chemistry? Swerve and Keith Lee, the instant in-ring chemistry in which they possessed was just automatic. So, I mean, again, I don't mind them teasing the dissension and all that, because as you said, they made sense of it. They made it good. And that's a storyline that adds to it. It doesn't have to be like some big overwhelming story. It's something that led to the eventual story and the payoff.
Yeah. I almost don't want them to do that yet, because FTR is a juggernaut. And I feel like if you're going to have them lose to Swerve and Our Glory, which they need to, because Swerve and Our Glory doesn't need to lose the belt yet, not for a while at least, then you got to do some weird finish I don't like. So what you can do is you can have Swerve and Our Glory face somebody else, build some other team for them to face, and then you can have FTR versus the Young Bucks for the ROH titles, for the IWGP titles, whatever you want to put on the line. Like, here's it is. We're carrying three sets of belts, Young Bucks. You can have them all if you can beat us. And then do that match for all those titles instead on the same card, because we all know All Out's going to have 15 matches on it.
We got plenty of super chats. We've got Jay Rush saying, who do we think the next challengers are for the tag titles? Appreciate your reviews every week. Tonight was not sour. I think it's probably FTR. I don't know how, if they win this weekend, you could ignore them at this point. You can't do it.
Yeah.
Joel says this show has certainly gone off the rails as per usual.
Yeah.
DJ Page says, so how many people am I going to have to explain who JD and Kevin Gates are tonight?
Well,
most people my age know who Jermaine Dupri is, because he was impossible to ignore for a long time.
Right.
But yeah.
Sean, welcome to Atlanta, where the players play.
What is this bullshit?
What are you doing?
He works one Wednesday.
Yeah.
And he can't stay out of the spotlight, this guy.
Spotlight Thursday is 9:30 a.m. Eastern here on YouTube.com.
Yeah, when did that start happening at 9? I was still planning on it being around 2 for like 3 months after it was at 9.
When Steven Jensen got a shoot job and we had to change plans.
Oh, okay.
I'm only here to plug. Alex Pulowski retweeted it, probably without actually hearing it. But my acclaimed Jim Ross rap is about to be a big hit.
Ooh. Is it my ass?
No. It was when he was like, I'm a bitch. I'm the bitch. I'm that bitch. I put that over the acclaimed beat and just put it on Twitter. It's some of my finest work, I must say.
Jeremy, when's the last time we were on a podcast together?
I don't know. It's been a while. It's been a
year?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has been.
He's a trendsetter. He stopped working Fridays long before I did.
Yeah, better things to do than watch wrestling every week.
What can get you to cover SmackDown on Fridays now?
Oh man, I don't cover.
What kind of trade package would I have to put together? I'd have to trade Denise to overbooked to make that happen.
I don't even watch the show, much less want to cover it.
I did cover it
2 weeks ago, actually.
If Jeremy was a GM and I said, listen, I just want you to cover SmackDown, he'd be like, listen, I'm going to need all three of the Grapsody guys, Denise, and whoever you got filling in for you on Fridays as well.
Yes.
On overbook.
Everyone go to my Twitter, @JeremyLambert88, and watch the Jim Ross acclaimed video. I spent a whole 15 minutes on it, but I'm very proud of the way I was able to cut it together. Sean Ross, have you retweet all my troll tweets that get me in trouble with people? How about your retweet this one? You can't play it on air because we probably get copyright struck because the acclaimed theme.
I'm going to listen to it.
Okay. It's really good.
Here we go.
Whose house? Lamb's house.
One of the lambs around.
Well, Lamb's got to be here somewhere. And you're right, Jeremy. I absolutely did retweet it without listening to it, because
I saw your retweet. I was like, Pulaski's on air. I don't know. Yep. Like, I don't know if he's actually listened to this, but I was very proud of it. Put me over, Sean Rossap.
It was good. It was pretty good. It was pretty good. We got super chats, Jeremy.
Oh, That's good.
Nerd Guru says, can we get a Mox a title feud, though? Got nothing, I would imagine. Well, I thought they were going to set up Eddie Kingston in the future, but...
Yeah,
loses.
Jeremy, who do you think challenges Mox in the 6 weeks before All Out?
He's going to wrestle Dax and Cash, and then CM Punk's going to come back.
That would be great. That makes sense.
Yeah.
The Lambs had that scoop first.
There you go. Please stop checking my account when you put that on StreamYard, please, because people think that it's a headline that I'm actually reporting on.
I wanted to do a troll stream where I said so. I don't know what I was going to say, but I was going to link it to your account and to Denise's account and see.
I'm going to do that to Denise's one day. Daniel R says, more pillar to post, please.
Every other Tuesday. It'll be back next Tuesday. So yeah, I am going to get on a schedule with pillar to post because it's really fun. Everyone,
proud of you. Do you have an air conditioner running in there?
No, it's my computer fan because I don't actually have a mic right now.
Your computer fan? A computer fan?
This is an impromptu run-in to put myself over.
What kind of Hewlett Packard are you running with the speakers that hook to the side of the monitor? A computer fan?
You have one of those.
You make a full-time living doing this.
I'm on, you know, kind of rest mode right now. I'm not at the desk or anything. I work.
You got the Tandy PC with Stellar 7 loaded up on the disk. Mm-hmm. Come on,
I'm looking for another raise after the Brian Danielson headline. Everyone's advocating for another raise.
Oh my god, dude, you're getting Adele.
Oh, that's great! What a great pick that was. All right, I won't ruin your show anymore. Hi, Alex Pawlowski.
Hi, it was good to see you, Jeremy.
Painmaker makeup. Yeah. I was going to do that tomorrow. I think I still have to. It's very good.
Let's get back to these super chats, please.
Yeah, sure.
Goodbye, Alex. Or goodbye, Jeremy.
Yeah, bye.
Alex is hanging around.
Yeah, I guess so.
Bako5 says the barbed wire match sucked more than Kevin Gates' cousin. Damn.
Jesus.
Kylie says that Dynamite was pretty great. And thankfully, after that cousin comment, JDB Pringle says, mental health information is the 16th National Suicide Hotline. Phone number is now 988. You can reach it via phone or text. Take care of yourselves. Pass this important info along. One love. Andrew Klaus says, should we be worried that Buddy Matthews wasn't with House of Black? Wrong guy went over in the main event. Kept waiting for Brian to make the save. Buddy Matthews is in Australia. So, no, I don't think it's anything concerning. Roy says, Chuck caught him that pin was a great line. That was a good line. Like, yeah. Occasionally you get those pieces of gold.
Yeah.
Mr. Showtime says, AEW knows what they're doing, having JR come out of the heel tunnel. Thanks for all the hard work. Joel Pearl sucks. All hail, SRS, your true Fightful champion. I beat Josh Alexander in a scooter race to earn a Fightful title shot.
Wow.
And I hear that Joel Pearl is trying to insert some stipulations, like I can't punch anybody in the face that wear glasses, which I would never do anyway. That's horrible. Right. But I think that it's a good idea to have JR do the final hour as a lighten his load a little bit.
But yes, go ahead. Depending on which matches he calls,
that's a fair point.
Whether or not he doesn't understand why Jade Cargill calls herself that bitch.
That is fair. Butcher and Blade attack Silver and Reynolds. They got Butcher and the Blade shirts that say Butch.
Yes.
And they said, let's put his ass through the wall. But they actually put Reynolds' head through the wall.
Yeah.
So no ass prints. But
no ass prints. But
listen, I wouldn't hate to see Butcher and Blade eventually join Dark Order, Alex.
Interesting.
Like, they become fun-loving, and we see a different side of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could be fun.
It could be fun.
Christian Cage and Luchasaurus defeat the Varsity Blondes. I mean, we saw this coming.
Well, we saw Christian and Luchasaurus defeating the Varsity Blondes.
Of course. Yes. It was fine.
The thing that happened afterwards, I would argue, I did not see coming. No.
Yes. For those that have wondered, Jungle Boy has not been hurt. He was selling the impact of that. I had a lot of people asking about his status. Daniel says he wishes Jungle Boy stayed away a bit longer. I think he stayed away long enough. I think a solid month or so is enough for that particular attack, sure. Alex.
Him coming back now, I think, is a great spot. It was the thing that happened right after him coming back that leaves me scratching my head. Because I don't know why you have Christian turn Luchasaurus to the dark side and then give him a mask that's like black and have him turn him heel and actually have him like playing big man, smashing dudes through tables and murdering dudes. And he's got like, he's got this really vicious version of the snare trap. A move I would argue that you give him specifically for him to use on Jungle Boy. Like, there's a whole story to be told with Jungle Boy comes back and Christian has somehow has Luchasaurus under his control. And no matter what Jungle Boy says, Luchasaurus is with Christian. And eventually, eventually Luchasaurus is convinced by Jungle Boy to turn back to the dark, to the good side. And I would say that's like a month to 3 month story, maybe even culminating at All Out in the big Christian versus Jungle Boy match with Luchasaurus at ringside type of deal. To have Jungle Boy come out now after being gone for a month and Luchasaurus walk out to meet him and then be like, okay, you can go beat up my best friend Christian right now, is really weird and doesn't make a lot of sense to me to do it that way. That feels very WWE to tell the story that fast because you have no confidence in how you're going to tell all the middle chapters, so you just skip to the end.
So Rich says, I call bull that Luchasaurus' heel run is over already. If it is, what a waste. I agree. All we saw was him step aside.
Yeah.
And we didn't necessarily see him attack Christian Cage or anything like that.
No, but him allowing it, maybe it was all a plan to get Jungle Boy to think Luchasaurus is actually on his side. I mean, Jungle Boy got nowhere near Christian. Christian had that 4.4 40 speed running up those stairs. Like maybe that's where we're gonna get to, but it just felt way too fast. I hope that they're gonna keep this going for a while.
Yeah, I think that this is far from over. I think this is far from over. Jungle Boy chasing Christian to his theme was comedy. It was so funny. Yes, it was so funny.
Yes.
I'm excited to see Jungle Boy back. This is very clearly a match for All Out, and it's a hell of a match for All Out.
Yeah.
And I would love that to kind of determine where Luchasaurus ends up. Like, he's torn. He doesn't know what to do yet. Like, he sees the upside of siding with Christian, but Jungle Boy is his buddy. And then you know what? Jungle Boy versus Luchasaurus is a hell of a program to do as well.
Right.
So I think there's a lot that can be done there as well.
Yeah.
We had the Gun Club interview. They got a rap battle set for Rampage.
Oh, that'll be fun. That will not near be whatever it is. Won't be as good as Jeremy Lambert's tweet.
Yes. Ricky Starks defeats Cole Carter. This was a fine match. It was all right. But again, I'm with you. It going that long didn't seem like
it was a showcase match for Cole Carter. Like, yes. They were like, here, kid, go in there with one of our very best and have him on the ropes. Like, there was one really great two count that he got. Like, so, I mean, he looked good in the match. Like, this was in no way a squash. This was one of the very best Ricky Starks against this newcomer. I mean, whatever I saw of him in NXT 2.0, I was like, oh, he's promising. I didn't think he was this, you know, like, I didn't think he was like, hey, let's plug him in and he'll be challenging our top guys if he comes into AEW thing. I thought he'd get a couple of good matches on Dark and let's give him a look-see, which I guess he's had elsewhere, but this felt like it was like a moment where like, hey, this is one of our new young guys. Take a look at him. And I mean, fine. He seems fine, but it seemed out of the blue to me.
Board guy says, why did Ricky Starks do a flair-tastic promo a couple of weeks ago? He's not on the last match card, right? Maybe he's looking for a booking. He will be in Nashville at StarCast, mm-hmm. StarCast.com. And Zach says, oh my God, what is Troy Four Nichols Donovan doing in the All Elite Zone?
Four Nichols is great.
I mean, that Four him Nichols. Him getting that opportunity here as opposed to being booked on Dark was surprising to me.
Yes.
I do know he's got some friends in high places as well, though.
Right.
I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I definitely don't think he did anything to not get himself booked in the future.
No.
And I love the reference that Ricky Starks, it's the wrestling multiverse. And he's like, the last time we saw you, you were sleeping with the fishes. Well, now it's Shark Week. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, well, this is good. You know, and I mean, it's what I'm missing now is a little Tony D'Angelo cutting a promo on his former guy who somehow made it out of the river alive, and I'm gonna track you down. I swear to God, like there's got to be something there doing.
I love it. I he got to do that. So after this, Ricky Starks makes another open challenge, and Danhausen accepts, but Ricky Starks cuts a promo, makes fun of Danhausen, and says, next week it'll happen. This is fun. Good way to promote next week. I love the FTW title being defended more as well.
Yeah, I also love Danhausen being like, I am coming out here to challenge for the Fun Taffy Walrus Championship. And I don't know what he would say, but I think I'm happy about it. This will be fun. Next week should be a fun time.
Ricky Starks has got to get his rest. He's got to make sure that he's ready to go, Alex. Yes,
absolutely.
So he needs helixsleep.com/fightful. Make sure you get your rest. Helix Sleep changed my life. I was sleeping on this crappy slab of memory foam for a long time. Thought that I was getting a good deal. I wasn't. I needed to invest in my sleep, so I got a Helix Sleep mattress. I took the Helix quiz. I was matched with the Dusk Lux model because I wanted something that was in between soft and firm, and I slept on my back. Now, because of the versatility of helixsleep.com/fightful, I'm able to sleep on my side. Gives me a fuller night's sleep as well. I'm not waking up all the time whenever I roll over. I'm sleeping through the night more than ever. It helped me out a lot. And when I happened to look, it was during the pandemic. Didn't want to roll around on a mattress that somebody else had been on the at a mattress store. So I went to helixsleep.com. And then after I got it, I tried it out, loved it. I hit them up and I said, let's do business. And they said, aight. Well, now you can go to helixsleep.com/fightful, take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They'll match you to a customized mattress that gives you the best sleep of your life. They got a 10-year warranty and you can try it out 100 nights risk-free. If you want some even more flexibility, they've got financing options, payment plans. So a great night's sleep is never far away. You can all invest in your sleep now. They have a soft, medium, firm mattresses, ones that cool you down if you sleep hot, ones that align your spine, even a plus mattress for plus-sized sleepers. Get something that's perfect for the way that you sleep. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/fightful. They even have mattresses with specialized cooling technology if you're burning up right now in the summer. I love Helix Sleep. It legitimately changed my life. It's good stuff. Bailey Fuller says, honestly, Hook should have taken the open challenge. I haven't seen much of Hook lately.
No, they did this interview with him last week, and they were like, hey, Hook, you're undefeated. Are you coming for gold soon? He didn't say anything and walked away. Like, I think eventually you got to do something with it, but yeah.
Nathan DePaul says, 2 Dimes entered witness protection under the alias Cole Carter. That would be cool if a lot of like his moveset was in reference to that. Sure. Because for a long time, he's going to be known as that guy.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Kai says, I love the turn on Christian. Made me think Luchasaurus was keeping the prey fresh for Jungle Boy so he could have first pickings. And it was good to me. Kai, I don't know that we've necessarily seen that through as of yet. I think there's more than meets the eye, and I hope so, because I think there's more meat on the bone.
Oh, that's good. What I thought that Luchasaurus was doing was allowing Jungle Boy to walk past him so that he could reach out and grab him by the hair and pull him back. And like there was kind of something there, like something to do there. I think there's still...
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active, well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of 5-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. and the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee, so if you want to experience smoother digestion, boosts of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's got to be a match between the boy and his dinosaur, like where Jungle Boy doesn't want to hurt Luchasaurus, but Luchasaurus must because the new master told me I have to. Like there's got to be that match out there somewhere.
Volub says even the Painmaker sleeps on a Helix mattress. Wow, Zach Schimmel, our friend here, has gifted 10 memberships for Fightful's YouTube.
Oh, wow.
We appreciate you so much. Also, we are simulcasting on twitch.tv/Fightful Gaming for those of you interested. But thank you to Zach. He is always so generous to us and always, he's just so cool to us all the time. FTR, what a great promo. Man. FTR, they cut a promo on the Briscoes who can't be on the show.
Right.
And listen, all due respect to Cash, but that Dax aspect of it, talking about how there was a girl, 5-year-old girl, who had a hole in her heart, had to work her ass off to fill that hole in her heart. And that was his daughter. And he said, we're going to fight like an 8-year-old girl on Saturday. What a great goddamn line. He's wrestler of the year right now, this guy.
He really is. There's nothing I love like a good old fashioned baby.
He don't read the damn articles, but he's wrestler of the year.
There's nothing I love more than a good old fashioned baby face fire promo.
Yeah.
That talks you into the building like that. That was it, man. I don't know why you would be after their first match, but if you were non-committal on the whole, you know, FTR versus the Briscoes 2, I don't know if I really want to see that match. After this promo, you are desperately need FTR to win for Dax's little girl. Like it's a perfect promo.
This was just, man. Okay, so honestly, in New Japan, there weren't a wealth of promos being cut. In Ring of Honor, there weren't a wealth of promos being cut. And I'm talking like when they were 2 and 3. You saw more of it because there was such an English language speaking infusion in New Japan. But so many of the popular characters in New Japan that spoke English were heels. They were part of Bullet Club. So you didn't necessarily see those babyface fire promos in English. Impact was reaching like all-time low at that point, and WWE just wasn't doing good babyface promos.
Yeah.
Occasionally, like the Kofi Mania thing was really, really great, and Becky Lynch's ascension was really, really good. But outside of that, you weren't getting like this wealth of great babyface promos to the point where I was like, man, is there an appetite for baby faces anymore? Like without the edge, the only edge that Dax needs is that we know he's passionate, maybe to a fault at times, about pro wrestling and how much he loves it, specifically tag team wrestling and specifically the things that are important to him. And Tom LaValle brings it up. Cash still can't believe their faces. Dax showed exactly why their faces. Give them all the belt. Impact, NWA, MLW. Take your pick and more. I don't think we'll be seeing AEW MLW crossover for a while, but
no.
Dax is so good at this shit, man. Mm-hmm. And Cash is great too. Like, man,
he's great.
Thunderstorm interview interrupted by Britt and Britt and Jamie. At this point, like, I'm like, are there women's tag titles coming or that I don't know about? Like, and I know some of you go, you're the reporter, find it out. I'm trying. But otherwise, I'm like, okay, I would like to see more emphasis put on developing contenders for Thunder Rosa's title. Now, I know she's defending it against Miyu next week, and that's going to rule. That's going to rule.
Yeah, yes.
But I would love to see them developing other contenders in the interim.
Yeah. I think that they don't even need to, like, get new belts designed. They can just go down to Orlando and fish a couple out of the trash and then, like, slap a new coat of paint on them, and, hey, there you go. Because WWE's got two sets of women's titles they're not doing anything with.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, you could be the only place, like Impact's got a Knockouts tag division. WWE isn't wanting it anymore. So you could be the top company with a women's tag division.
I got somebody that's in here saying, like, he's just shitting on literally everything. He's only here excitedly because we're going to shit on the main event. Right. He's like, oh, well, there's great promos from Liv Morgan and Daniel Bryan and Big E and Cody. Buddy, where the fuck was Cody during that period? He was in AEW. What was Big E doing from a singles babyface perspective back then? Nothing. And then when he won it, the best promos that they were allowing that guy to cut were for boxing, for the love of God. Yeah. Where's Bryan Danielson been? Where was he for like several years during that period?
Yeah.
Nowhere. Then he turned heel. Liv Morgan? What? Wait, that promo that they had her cut where they had to make it seem like she didn't give people anything to cheer about, as opposed to WWE just outright not booking her for like a year. Like, that's the one you're talking about, instead of the overwhelmingly like personable stuff that I see of her on the bump or interviews I've done with her or Pat McAfee or anything like that. Come on, get the hell out of here, buddy. Right. Put your pants back on. Don't worry. We'll bury the main event for you. You'll leave happy.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, WWE outright shoots themselves in the foot with babyface booking. And so often the babyface booking is, well, we've treated this person like shit so much that they have eventually cultivated an audience that is so loyal to them, and they want to see them stop getting fucked about.
Yeah.
So they get somebody to cheer for them, and that's how they develop them. Only until Cody, which, by the way, he left the company, built himself, then got over as a polarizing character in AEW, came over there and was a great babyface. Well, there you go. Come on. Be real. Be real with yourself. I don't even like to talk about WWE during an AEW show and vice versa, because I know that there are people that will get so emo over it. Yep. But come on. Todd Starr says, Rosa and Miyu being rushed next week with little promotion for people to learn who Miyu is. All to get back to Britt and the title picture is why I despise AEW's women's division booking. I want to see somebody built to where I believe that they are an effective threat to take one of those two titles. Mm-hmm. One of those two titles.
Yeah, they seem to be doing that with Athena. Like, they did that, the thing where, like, hey, I think this is a perfect opportunity for us to say that, Statlander, why don't you go for the AEW women's title, and I, Athena, will go for the TBS title? Because it did seem like they were both going after the TBS title, and I think they realized that eventually they're going to have to not like each other because of that, because only one of them can be the next TBS champion. So they didn't want to do that match or that feud just yet. So, like, oh, Chris, why don't you exit this program and go over there and try and hunt down a Thunder Rosa? And I'm all for a Thunder Rosa versus Statlander program.
Yeah.
I think that's great. And I think Statlander will be a champion, whether or not she is the AEW women's champion or the TBS champion within the next year. She's got it, but it is kind of an odd thing that they just can't keep Britt away from Thunder Rosa.
Everybody here, please leave a thumbs up. We would appreciate it a lot. It dropped an interview with Montez Ford this week for those of you who missed it, as well as I got one with Los Lotharios coming up. If you watch that interview, wait till you see. Angel Garza charmed me. Oh. I had the little hard eye emojis just standing there next to the guy.
Oh,
he's incredible. He's incredible. Also, Graps that he posted an interview with Mikey Ruckus.
Oh.
Joel Woods says this would mean more if the women's division was taken more seriously instead of the 920 spot every week, aka the bathroom spot every week before the main event. Joel, I agree with most of that. I hate the term bathroom spot. Like, I can watch AEW while I take a shit now.
Right.
I've got YouTube TV, man. Like, it ain't that serious. But the booking, yes, the booking should be better. AW Pringle says, damn, SRS put his Crocs in sport mode for that rant. Like, listen, if you want to come here to watch us bury something, that's fine. Because if it's bad, we're probably going to bury it.
But he's going to get his wish. I'm going to shit all over that main event.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the first thing he said. He's like, are y'all going to talk about how terrible that is? So then when I see you coming in and being like, oh, but WWE's got lots of good babyface promos. I'm sorry, man, but I've watched every minute. I guarantee you I'm among the top 0.1% of content WWE watchers of the last, like, 3 decades.
Yeah.
Almost everything, almost every second of cable televised show that they have aired for 30 years, I have watched. And I watch main events still, for the love of God, just so I can see how people are performing on that show. That way, when people say, why is this person on main event? I can say, well, because they suck ass.
Yeah.
Or I can say, hell if I know, T-Bar is doing bangers every week.
Yeah.
Come on. Do better. And yes, Young Sheldon is the bathroom spot.
That is true.
Big Bang Theory in general. Athena and Willow against the baddies. Layla Gray is sidelined, so this isn't going to end up happening the way that we had anticipated. It's made a tag match, but also announced Willow versus Allison Kay for Death Before Dishonor. I was surprised Allison Kay never got brought back after the first appearance. And she's been working NWA quite a bit. I love Willow Nightingale's work. I think that she's incredible. I've been trying to find out if she's signed. I can't believe that if she wasn't signed, that she wouldn't have gotten offers from elsewhere.
Right.
I know that when she left MLW, they thought that it's because she was signing with AEW.
Yeah.
But Turley says, put that belt on Willow. Devastated we didn't get her music. Turley says, how could they deprive us of that music? Willow is starting to emerge. Like, when everybody's talking about Athena and Chris Statlander and Jade Cargill and the new baddie, you got Willow Nightingale here, who is such a pure, likable babyface.
Yep.
I want to cheer for her all the time.
Here's how I would book the ROH Women's Division. I'd have Serena Deeb take the title off of Mercedes Martinez this Saturday. I'd have her go on a heel run where she kills everybody, injures people intentionally type of thing. Will only take challenges against people who aren't on her level, then injures all of them kind of a thing. And the woman who they build to eventually take the title off of Serena Deeb is Willow Nightingale. Like, that she could run the ROH Women's Division. Like, for a while. I love the idea of also Allison Kay being a part of that women's division. Like, you're going to have an actual division. You can't just have, like, whenever you start doing ROH shows, which we think is on the horizon, you're going to have a full division of women there. And I don't know how many they're going to shunt over from AEW to do that. So adding a few from elsewhere stands to reason. Allison Kay would be a great addition, and Willow, I think, could be the heart of that division.
Tom LaValle says, Chris can take either title. I want to see her wrestling every week. Pulling her from the tag match really hurts her spot in the rankings. I pay such little attention to those rankings until somebody says who is ranked what. If somebody has won 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 matches in a row, I'm like, hell yeah, they've won a bunch of matches in a row. They give them a title shot type of thing.
Well, I mean, pulling her from the for the match actually helps her rankings because she wasn't on the team that wound up losing, so she doesn't get that little loss, little tick in the loss column. So that's good.
Nerd Guru says, why was the FCW crap in the 9 p.m. slot, not the women's tag match? Come on, that's BS. Why in God's name is Thunder Rosa in a tag team and feuding with Britt again? Give her anything else to do, please. Tired of complaining about their women's booking. I mean, as far as the 9 p.m. slot, I think Ricky Starks and Danhausen being in the 9 p.m. slot, it makes sense. I don't know about necessarily Cole Carter. Right. No disrespect to him at all. And Tom LaValle meant the women's tag rankings. Sure. But I don't necessarily think that maybe the Cole Carter spot should have been there. But if it was like 9 p.m. started with the Danhausen Ricky Starks confrontation, I would have kind of got that. But I would just love to see some women's segments in the first hour in general, Alex.
Or, you know, how about one in the first hour and one in the second hour? Mm-hmm. Give us two matches. I mean,
yeah.
Have we gotten that? Like, I feel like in the history of Dynamite, I can count on one hand the number of times we've had two women's matches on a Dynamite.
Yeah.
That's inexcusable.
So, we've got, by the way, we've got Jade Cargill picking up the win. They keep touting her undefeated streak, by the way. But Jermaine Dupri, mm-hmm. This is so on brand. Mm-hmm. So on brand. And somebody says, why does it matter where the matches are slotted? I go to the bathroom during the commercial. Y'all are weird. Listen, buddy, you ain't getting your full wipes in if you're going during the commercials. And that is nasty, Ricardo. I'm not done. All right. Hope to God you're using wet wipes, first off. But during the commercials, you need to regulate yourself. You need to make sure that you're eating the right things.
Oh, I get it.
No, it's not an Athletic Greens thing.
Okay.
But athleticgreens.com/fightful. It's great. But
I think the bathroom break match is in reference to the people in the crowd.
Sure.
That they want to make sure they're there for the main event in their seats. And, you know, how long is the main event? We should go now.
Somebody says, or Derek says, can someone explain to me why 9:30 is the bathroom spot? I never hear this with the other company. Why is going ahead of the main event bad? Traditionally, in a lot of television wrestling, that's when a lot of people hit the concessions, hit the merch stand, because they want to be there for the main event.
Right.
So that typically happened an awful lot. Rerun says, things I'm into. Baddies versus Stat and Athena. Tay and Ruby and a heel turn. Mercedes Deeb. Team split match. Always looking for seeds in the hater-Brit relationship. How the Thunderstorm relationship evolves. I'm sitting here waiting at, based on all that you mentioned, saying, where the hell are these tag titles? Uh-huh. I mean, at this point, Alex, what I think would make a lot of sense is if Jade Cargill unified the two singles titles, right, and then they did a set of tag titles, because it very much felt to me like the TBS title was established like at the sacrifice of tag titles for the time being.
Yeah, I agree that the tag titles seem to be that if you're not planning on doing the tag titles, this weird now like, hey, here's another tag team. Well, here's another tag team. These two women seem to be working well together. Let's give them a tag team. I know. Let's put two of our most popular babyface women's wrestlers together and give them the tag team name Thunderstorm, then print a whole bunch of merch for them, but we're not actually going to have a tag team division. That doesn't make sense. You got to actually go ahead and introduce the belts.
WrestleVibe says the pop for Athena and Jade facing off. Jade having Athena to work with is the right type of person for her to work with as well. Kylie says, I love Willow. She's so awesome. If not Athena, it better be Willow that beats Jade. Well, they got something special with Willow Nightingale. Mm-hmm. She will be something special. DJ Page says, why do folks crap on the women's division? I love so many women's matches in AEW. It's a division. They can't take up an hour of the show. Same with the tag division. What's there is really good. Well, first off, DJ, I want to say it's crapping on the booking. Yeah. And a division, they can't take up an hour of the show. But what are you talking about? Like, they take up an hour of the show with the tag team division all the time.
All the time.
All the time, my friend. So yeah, why the hell couldn't they develop something?
There's no reason why you can't have one 12-minute women's match and one 8-minute women's match on the show every week.
And a segment and another segment. Absolutely. There's no reason.
Nope.
JW Pringle says the Crocs are in 4-wheel drive. I've actually never owned Crocs. Got some good new slides this week, though. Glenn Flanders says, does it seem like we've been seeing more Kip Sabian at ringside? What's up with that? Well, he returned to the ring for an indie earlier this month. Uh-huh. So, and when I asked him, hey, what's up with what you're doing? He gave me like some Lord of the Rings quote. Huh. But he also says, could that be setting up an MJF return, hide him at ringside for a run-in?
That's like 12D chess, and I would respect it so much.
I wouldn't. If the day that MJF returns is with a, as you would say, a stupid fucking little box on his head.
I would pop so hard if one time we saw Kip Sabian lay somebody out at ringside, and then he pulled the box off, and it was MJF. I would pop so hard.
No. Man. I've done a lot of traveling this month, Alex.
Have you?
Yeah. Las Vegas, Cincinnati, Louisville, wow. Toronto. I got Nashville. Wow. I got LA. And no matter where I go, I don't have to miss my favorite shows. Thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. And now all of you can as well. You're going to get a great deal, an additional month free, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. But how about this? They've got a plan for everybody. You can start off on the standard tier and just get a VPN. You can move up one tier, add a pass as well. Add up one tier, and you get a locker as well. But that's in addition to the great threat protection. Block online trackers, malware, pop-up ads, all that stuff, which you don't got to worry about that malware at Fightful, unlike some other wrestling websites. NordVPN.com/Fightful works on all your devices, and it helps you save money as well. You might say, well, Sean, aren't I subscribing to this? How will it help me save money? Well, you can pay a lot less for pay-per-views when you order them via overseas services. Like, I don't know, maybe from Lithuania if you want to check out some shows this week, or maybe the big UFC pay-per-views, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe you want to watch something without Shark Week commercials all the time, and you want to subscribe to a certain service. NordVPN.com/Fightful allows that to happen. Again, works on all your devices. NordVPN.com/Fightful. It's good stuff. Righteous versus Dalton Castle and the boys for Death Before Dishonor. Cool.
Well, that's the ROH six-man championships, which means there's a real easy way to like, hey, those ROH six-man championships will also be defended on AEW pay-per-views. And now we have a six-man, now we have a trios title that we've been wanting for years. You don't have to do much of anything with it except for now those guys travel back and forth from ROH to AEW. Like, there's a really easy way to get there, and that makes me excited if they're actually going in that direction, which I hope they are.
I mean, Vincent has been appearing on Impact Wrestling of late, which that surprised me quite a bit that he was just popping up over there. But Dalton Castle, I mean, obviously we had seen him on the show before, but ROH hasn't tweeted, like, any of the new match announcements out there. Yeah, I'm like, come on now. What the hell are we doing here? Like, let's get some promotion for this thing out there. And I hope that's not like a sign of things to come or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm looking to see if AEW tweeted about it. Like, can anybody even send me the graphic of this? Because I didn't remember seeing the six-man tag titles even mentioned on there.
I mean, I saw somebody else tweet out a graphic for it. So.
Okay, well, if anybody can pass that along, because I hadn't heard any update about the six-man or anything like that. But, yeah. Well, the main event. Holy crap. This wasn't good, Alex.
It was barbed not.
Barbed wire everywhere. I thought the booking was bad. I thought Gang Wars was bad. the malfunction of the equipment was bad. Bless Jericho and Eddie Kingston for going through barbed wire and all this. And yeah, I respect them and the sure. Exploder. The Exploder was great. I just thought this was stinky booking all around. Let's talk about the match itself. JW Pringle says Alex is the best, but who else would dress up like a bona fide sports entertainer for our amusement? I can think of one guy. Jake says outside of Blood and Guts and Stadium Stampede, seems like AEW has a bad streak booking these gimmick matches. Well, it was specifically booking. I think the match could have been fine, if not great, Alex. But the booking, woof.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to do Jericho versus Kingston in a barbed wire death match where Eddie Kingston goes over as God intended. And that's the end of the feud, because this has been going on. The whole thing was he had his match with Jericho, and the stipulation was, if I beat you, Jericho, you got to shake my hand. And he beat Jericho, and Jericho didn't shake his hand. And that was months ago, and we're still here. And the end of the feud has to be Eddie Kingston beating Jericho once and for all. Does he have to get the handshake? No. Could he? I don't know. But like the end of it has got to be that. So what the end of this is that we get more of this. And it feels like the next big show they're doing is All Out. And I that seems like a long ass time from now. It's like over a month. It's 6 weeks. That's a lot of episodes of both Dynamite and Rampage to get through before we finally blow this thing off. The thing I hated about it is that immediately when Yas came out and got in the shark cage, I was like, where's Sammy? Why isn't Sammy in the shark cage? Eddie Kingston is the most street smart wrestler I've ever seen in my life. That's he would thing. Be like, no. There's one more of you. We're not starting this match until you get Sammy Guevara out here and getting in there, because I know what you're doing, Jericho. You're going to have Sammy Guevara come out here and get involved unless he's in that cage.
And I remember an interview that Road Warrior Animal did, and he said it was very important to their booking that he and Hawk stayed street smart on screen. He's like, if you put us up in a mathematical equation, in like an academic contest, we're not going to win. But if you're like, well, why wouldn't we factor in Jim Cornette? Why wouldn't we assume that he's going to be outside doing something stupid? We're not dumb when it comes to fighting people, because that's how we got where we were. And that's how I feel about Eddie Kingston as well. You did send me the graphic. The ROH Six-Man titles are online, which is interesting. I'd not heard them mentioned backstage at all in months.
Interesting.
Matthew says, deflated by that finish and the afterbirth, as Cornette calls it. Just not a satisfying conclusion. I agree. If Eddie Kingston's going to stand tall, why not just have him win?
Why have him win the match?
And to me, it seems like such a slam dunk for him to compete in the main event for the title at Arthur Ashe. Yeah. And this is how you start that. Yep. This is how you start that. He picks up a couple more big wins, and then he wins it All Out. And then you have this big match, and he gets his main event in his hometown.
Yeah.
And hey, if he wins, huge moment. If he loses, the champion exits the ring. You leave Eddie Kingston in the ring, and he gets a moment of a lifetime.
Yeah.
When he had never been on national TV to any extensive degree until a couple years ago, unless you want to count that Impact run that unfortunately a lot of people didn't watch.
Yeah.
It seemed like common sense. Bako says Jericho's blading is about too obvious. It is, but also it was barbed wire, so I don't really have a problem with that. He's going to get cut up. Knocked Bogan says, what have I become? My feuds go on way too long. Sometimes I win matches. I shouldn't something something Judas in my mind.
Yeah, there you go.
Jesse says, Sean and Alex for this main event give sorrow words. The grief that does not speak knits up the rot thought and bids it break. Alex will understand. Sour graps for life.
Yeah.
Wasn't good.
Giving the keys to the cage to Ruby on the outside. Like, why not just give them to the big, huge security guard who sits at ringside every match? Like, that would make more sense. And then Ty coming out off, like, as soon as I saw that, they're like, oh, Ruby's got the keys. Ruby Soho's got the keys. I was like, well, Ty's not in the cage. Ty's definitely coming out and laying out Ruby and taking the keys. And then the whole added wrinkle of Anna Jay coming out and siding with Ty was like, oh, I guess we needed that heel turn here. Huh. Got to do all that. There's so much extra booking. Oh. And then they couldn't get the cage open and they had to walk through the friggin' bars.
Yes, they had to walk through the bars. Kai says Tay and Sammy in the cage and Anna comes and frees them easy. Ian says, just the other week, Dark Order said they were sticking together. Now Anna Jay turned heel. So unless they all do, I guess she's out of Dark Order. I mean, AEW has generally been good about following up with this stuff. And they're like, what gives? And honestly, I would like to see Hangman and Dark Order involved in a bit of the gang wars. We didn't talk about Hangman Page earlier, but I imagine he's going to be a part of this, which nobody has super chatted about Kenny Omega yet tonight. I would imagine he'll be a part of this Bullet Club Civil War type of thing that is looking like it'll expand. But Nathan says, love the Anna Jay turned. Everything after that was a mess. Show was really great until that point as well. Which still, again, Alex, begs the question, do we got some fucking women's tag titles coming or something? Because Tony has said in the past, like, sometimes he'll just have belts made. The All-Atlantic titles were made a long time ago. How long ago? I'm working on it. But, man, Joel Wood says, at this point, AEW should just forget barbed wire matches. What's the point of having Anna with Dark Order 2 weeks ago if they're staying only to turn heel 2 weeks later? Well, I mean, that's character development. And if it's explained, then, well, that's to answer your question. Hopefully tune in next week. Tune in on Rampage. Tune in whenever, and hopefully they'll answer it.
We got, like, it makes sense here because they had the interaction with her and Ty after Anna Jay lost last week. Ty was like, you're going to keep on losing unless you join up. And Anna, like, they were left on Anna thinking about it. So I guess she thought about it for a week and she decided to join her old friend.
Yes. So. Speaking of wonderful Annas, Anna Bauert sent me a gift this week. Aww. Sent my wife a gift, actually. A couple of posters. That's right. But what a clown. I miss her.
Yeah, me too.
Jake says, I'm sick of Jericho and Jericho Stables. If he would have lost, I probably wouldn't have felt just like such disdain for it. I still think he's very useful as a performer and especially the name value. Dakota says, why weren't Sammy and Tay in the cage if they were members of Yas? It made no sense.
Yeah. And then the way the ending worked was so bad.
It didn't make sense.
Sammy getting in, super kicking Eddie. And then there was that weird thing of like Jericho having to wait to do the Judas effect until the Irish whip was reversed and then reversed again. And then after the match, Eddie Kingston tried to do the spinning back fist, but hit Jericho in the back of the head when he was supposed to think to hit Sammy. Everything was so wonky.
And that, as good as I thought the actual in-ring was, that afterwards, which whiffing on a punch like that isn't so bad. Jericho didn't sell it, but it looked a little bit disjointed for sure. Todd Starr says, feels like TK really wants long-term stories, but has trouble realizing what stories call for it and which ones don't. Way too many stories dragging out months past this expiration date. Yeah. I mean, like the Kip Miro best friends thing that just went forever and ever. And this one has felt like it's went on way too long too. I mean, I thought Anarchy in the Arena was kind of like it. And then it's like, well, no, there's blood and guts. Then there's this. And it's continued even further. I don't think this needed that.
No.
Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We are heading down the home stretch. Meet Normus says, Alex, are you now the sour maker? Wait, no, that's Vince.
Ah, he does.
Said the main event motivated me to fold laundry. And Jeremy, cut the shit. Rich Southwood, okay with Anna Jay apparently joining Yas. I would have liked to have believed the Dark Order would have recruited a couple new members. With TJ back together, I'm sure there's an awful lot of women's tag teams running around right now. There are. And again, the two new members I kind of want to see are Butcher and the Blade. Because I love them as performers. I think they're great performers. Uh-huh. But we've seen the same Butcher and Blade for 3 years now.
Yeah.
And they've hopped from stable to stable to stable. And I would like to see a lighter side of those two. I think that would be very good. Matthew says, Jericho looks like he broke his nose and compensated. Well, he's a tough son of a bitch, so I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
Guru, what the actual F was that main event? Hated everything. The shark cage served no purpose. Anna Jay turning heel is not a good idea. F Sammy. Why did Eddie lose? WTF was this duty? He cursed a lot more. Man, when Eddie lost, I was like, really? And then when he stood tall, I was like, what?
Yeah.
What? That is the WWE booking that we often criticize. Gots to get your heat back. Well, I'll tell you a good way. Beat him.
Yes.
Beat him. That's a good way.
Yep.
Joel says it's Alex's fault that we got a Jericho victory.
It is. I'm a very big believer in jinxes, reverse jinxes with with sports. If I rooting for my team and I'm sitting in the wrong spot in the couch and they lose a game, I'll never sit in that spot in the couch again. And I jinxed everything. I as the match was starting, I started putting on the little. Found the marker, started doing this thing, went upstairs to find my little silly hat, and I jinxed everything. It's all my fault.
Nick says, probably would have been fine with Eddie losing if he would have looked joyed by throwing Jericho in the wire, but he looked disappointed. Send another chat by accident. Enjoy the free money. Well, we appreciate your support. We are publicly funded. But, I mean, I don't know, because that would have been even more of the WWE-style booking that I get frustrated by if he was like, hey, I just lost, man.
Yeah.
He cares about winning and losing. Like, that's important to him. Uh-huh. Spine on the Pine said, really fun match ruined by a weird ending. Who did this help? Why wasn't Sammy in the cage? Odd all around. Took the air out of the show for me. I need some explanation as to why Sammy wasn't there. Like, did he not show up?
What they said was, we haven't seen Sammy since he went off the top of the cage in Blood and Guts. So apparently he was too injured and therefore not there. But he was there, and we all knew he was going to be there. So it kind of doesn't hold water.
Mitchell says, seems like AEW is 0-2 in barbed wire matches. Yep, I would agree.
Cursed.
Bake05 says, maybe time for Tony to hire Booker. Not going to happen. Never going to happen. Ain't ever going to happen. Not in Ring of Honor, not in AEW. Nope. Man's going to book all the time, no matter what. And that's just straight up. He's going to book all the time.
Yeah.
Michael Key says, this match was just rough. Eddie should have won. I am completely in agreement there.
Right. Yeah.
Another super chat. I appreciate the efforts by the guys in the barbed wire matches, but they need to work on their finishes. That ending was so rushed and botched. I love the Exploder, and I saw that, and I was like, hell yeah, that was cool.
That was great.
And some of the spots were pretty good. It's just the booking that encompassed it, that swarmed it, that surrounded it, and then eventually drowned it was just too much. It was too much.
Yep.
Sawyer says, I was annoyed at a barbed wire everywhere match, only having barbed wire on three sides of the ring. Then the finish. Tony Khan's barbed wire matches are so cursed. The microphone was great, though. Microphone was an incredible touch.
That was a good touch.
Really enjoyed that. I didn't mind not having barbed wire on the hard cam side. Like, I kind of like that. But, I mean, maybe don't call it a barbed wire everywhere match. Just call it a barbed wire match.
Yeah.
That works as well. Mayan says, did Jericho have some kind of creative control? Seems like he ends up winning the ends of his feuds often. Everybody's got creative input, but I don't know about creative control. But, I mean, Jericho has long pitched stuff for himself and is well regarded for that. I mean, he's a very creative guy as well.
Yeah.
Our friend Zach Schimmel says, here's the Kenny Omega super chat. Well, that allows me to plug FightfulSelect.com. I know some of you go, by golly, why would I possibly pay for wrestling news? Well, a lot of times when you're getting it second, third hand, it just ain't right. A lot of it is just hearsay or just poor aggregation. Some of it's good aggregation, but over the last week, We've broken numerous stories over on Fightful Select. Kenny Omega's impending return, Bound for Glory location, an update on Edge's return. We had Kevin Owens' return as well. Raw and SmackDown producers, backstage news. We had the Raw plans as well. An update on Santana's injury, some frustration within WWE's women's division as well. We had the SmackDown plans, more on the TVPG TV 14 drama. We had the very controversial topic about Sasha Banks' asking price of $30,000. We had Lita outright rejecting WOW Women of Wrestling's overtures. We had the update on the Good Brothers' status with Impact Wrestling, an update on the women's tag team titles, and that's in addition to all kinds of shows, at least 7 weekly shows. We also had a 1991 retro review of SummerSlam. We've got dozens in the archives. We have over 50 episodes of Figure Hall in the archives and over 10 episodes of Card Hall in the archives as well. Just hundreds of shows, many of them evergreen, for you guys to check out. FightfulSelect.com. Alex, you do a couple shows over there as well, which two nights after SummerSlam, Sour Graps will actually be on the main feed. I think I told you that months ago.
I forgot all about it.
You forgot all about that because I'll be in LA, mm-hmm. and Denise will be a day removed from her wedding. So, we won't be there.
It'll be a little free preview of Sour Graps. If you watch Raw and think, hey, this could be a whole lot better, well, then I'm the show for you. That'll be a really fun one. I'm sure we'll find a way to wrap old Kate Elizabeth into that as well.
Yeah, she's doing that. She's doing it.
So of course she's doing it. And so that'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, over on Fightful Select, I review Raw and SmackDown on Mondays and Fridays. I have lost patience with WWE's booking and creative. I'm not afraid to say so. I don't grade things on a curve. Something people think I'm harsh or too negative. I just call it like I sees it. But also on Tuesdays, we do the NXT post show, me and Kate, over there, and people seem to really like it. It's more like a variety show than it is anything else. And then over on the Know Your News channel, Kate and I review weird, wacky movies and TV this week because, hey, it's Shark Week. We are reviewing not only Sharknado, but also all 5 of its sequels because they made 6 of those damn things. So on Thursday, I'll be reviewing all of the Sharknado films.
You guys need to review Titanic 2.
We'll put it on the list.
I've got some good ones for you guys to review. I got some good ones.
We'll put it on the list.
Did I ever have you review Wrong Side of Town?
Also on the list. Jimmy has also requested Suburban Commando. That's on the list.
Guys, thank you all so much. Please check out our sponsors, NordVPN.com/Fightful, StarCast.com, as well as HelixSleep.com/Fightful. You supporting them allows them to support us. Until next time, guys, we're out.